And today I titled my message, The Wonderfulness of Jesus. And it doesn't matter how old we are, this is a great reminder. Intro for the day is Psalm 113:3. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. If there is one thing that's true about Jesus, it's that there is nothing ordinary about Him. His life was wonderful, and not just, when I say wonderful, I don't just mean like good, but meaning that if we think about Jesus' life, we are in absolute wonder of all that He has done. And there are different ways to use the word wonder, so I want to start out by defining the type of the word wonder that we mean, alright? Alright, so let's talk about that, guys. Wonder, spelled with an O, means three different things as a verb. Let's see if you can figure out which one we're going to recommend talking about for Vacation Bible School. First, it can mean to think about something with curiosity, right? If we wonder about something, we can wonder with curiosity, like, I wonder how gravity works. That's like hard to understand, you know, at least for normal guys like me. So we might wonder with curiosity. The second option is we can wonder, meaning to be filled with amazement. And here's a sentence. I wonder how a gymnast can flip through the air several times and still land on their feet every time. Like, man, that's pretty impressive to me, you know? And there's the third way. The third way we see the word wonder in the dictionary can actually be used kind of in a negative way, meaning that you actually doubt something. I wonder if she can actually run as fast as she says she can, right? So there's the three main ways we see the word wonder used as a verb. And it's kind of crazy because the same word can be a really positive word, but it can also be used in a really negative way. So let's see who thinks it means the first, second, and third definition when it comes to what we want you at VBS to see about Jesus. So three different ways we use the word wonder. And the first one is to think about it. The second one is to be filled with amazement. And the third is to doubt. All right, so pretend you put on your cowboy hat if you think the first answer is the right one. We just want you to think about them. If you think that's it, put on a cowboy hat. All right, not a whole lot there. If you think that we want you to be amazed by Jesus because He's got some really cool stuff going on, swing your lasso and say, yee-haw.
Yee-haw!
There's a lot of adults that didn't do it. Kids, is that acceptable? No, sorry. The adults got to do it. Now, some of the adults did it, okay? But this is VBS week, so everybody's got to participate and set a good example, right? So we're going to try that again. If you think that we at VBS want you to be amazed at Jesus, then throw your lasso around and say, yee-haw.
Yee-haw!
See, you're in Perry County. It's okay. It fits right in, all right? All right, and the third way, if you really think we want you to doubt Jesus, just put your cowboy boots on. No, of course we don't want that. So that was a pretty easy test. I mean, and the first one makes a little sense because we do got to think about Jesus a little bit. I mean, that makes sense. But when we talk about wondering about Jesus, we want you to see just how amazing He is and how Jesus isn't like anybody else in the whole world that has ever been born. There's something absolutely amazing about Him. There's a lot of things, actually, that are very amazing about Him. And those are the things we're going to talk about. Got lost there already. All right. So let's look at some of those things this morning that we can just see how wonderful Jesus is, meaning it's making us full of wonder with amazement. Day one that we talked to VBS, we learned a verse, and it was John 1:14. All right, and this was our main lesson for the day. Jesus was the most important person ever born. All right, so we got a Bible verse up there. I don't know if you can see it with me or not, but hopefully the kids kind of remember it. Let's say this Bible verse together. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Good job. You adults are catching on now. Good. Because if you don't participate, I'm pulling you up front with me and giving you a mic. All right? So a man named John wrote this book about Jesus, as the Holy Spirit inspired him to do. And John spent a lot of time with Jesus. John was in wonder of Jesus too. He was absolutely amazed at the things Jesus did. And John learned that even Jesus' birth was not exactly normal. See, Jesus was the most important person ever born because when he was born, he came so that he could save the rest of the world from all the bad things that we have ever done, which we call sin. And if Jesus was going to do something that amazing, even his birth was going to have to be pretty special. So John wrote that Jesus was in existence before he was even born. That's not exactly normal. We don't think about that normally. But the reason Jesus existed before he was born is because that he was the Son of God. Because he also existed in heaven with God before he came to earth and was born a human birth. And Jesus was the only Son of God, so he's the only one that could ever save us from our sins. And I'm in wonder of how the Son of God, who created the whole universe, can even fit inside the body of a little baby boy. And if God sent his only Son to save us, that means he must love us very, very much. And that should make us full of wonder too. One of the neat things that your memory verse from the first night was that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Raise your hand if you have ever lied. Now, don't make me pull you up right now, adults, because this would be embarrassing, all right? All right, yeah, we have all lied. I have lied, we have all lied. Everybody lies at some time. So that is proof that we all sinned. And because we've all sinned, we need to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus never sinned. That means he never told a lie to his mom and dad. It means he never told a lie to his brothers or sisters. That means he never told a lie to his teachers. Jesus was so full of God and so full of truth his whole life that he never once sinned against God. From the very first day he was on this earth, he was special, which means we should take time to just sit and wonder at how amazing he was. And there's a lot more I could say about the amazing birth of Jesus, but let's move on to his childhood, because that's pretty full of wonder too. This was day two. We have the wonder of Jesus' birth and the wonder of his childhood. Day two, we talked about Luke 2:52. And this was our main lesson. Jesus is both God and man. All right, Luke 2:52. Read it with me. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Good. So Jesus looked like a normal kid when he was growing up. But man, there's something about him that was just very, very different. Like we already said, Jesus, he never sinned. And well, every other kid in this world has sinned. And that doesn't mean that it's all right to sin, but it does mean that if you sin, you are pretty normal. All right? So we have to understand that is pretty normal. Jesus was growing up, and we read in Luke 2:52 that as he increased in these things, in wisdom and stature, so we talk about wisdom, it means his being wise, making good decisions. And then also his stature means his physical size. Like he continued to grow. And as we get older, we learn new things. We get more information, which helps us as we need to make better decisions in life. The word wisdom, it's a really good word. It means that we make good choices that please God. That's a really good way to say it. We make good choices that please God. Someone might even be really, really smart. They might know a lot of information. But that doesn't mean they're wise, because to be wise means that we make good choices with that information that we have. There's a very smart man in the world. He's since passed away, but his name was Stephen Hawking. And he was extremely smart, but not very wise. I say he was smart because he was a brilliant mathematician. He would lecture people on physics and how space worked, and very, very smart, but he lacked wisdom. Because Stephen denied that there even was a God. Stephen believed all the stuff that we see just kind of appeared. He relied on his own intelligence to save him rather than asking Jesus to save him. So he was very smart, but what he did with all that information was not wise. And if I had my choice and I can only pick one, I would choose wisdom over being smart. Nobody say anything. We're going to keep going. The Bible tells us that wise people know that God exists. And they seek to please him. And we can be wise without being smart. If we're both, it's even better, right? It's kind of like a bonus. But I see lots of smart kids out here today, and I believe that if you continue to follow Jesus, study your Bible and learn and grow, you're going to be wise too. And here's what the Bible says about people that are not wise in Psalm 14:1. It says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. I not only believe that God exists, I believe that God loves each of you very, very, very much. And as Jesus grew up, which we don't know much about as a child, we do know that he also grew physically. He grew taller. He grew wiser. He studied the Word of God so much that when he was 12 years old, is there any 12-year-olds in the service here today? If you are 12 years old, stand up. All right, we got one. Is that it? One? Sorry, Gracie, you guys stand up. Just be for a minute. Stand up. This is what a 12-year-old kid looks like. Just in case you weren't sure. Gracie, don't worry. We're going to get some adults here in a minute too, all right? All right. So, yeah. So, Jesus was 12 years old. He walked into the temple, which is like kind of like their church. And he went and talked to their smartest religious leaders of the day. And he knew the Bible so well that he was able to teach them things about God. And they were curious, like, how could a kid know so much? Now, I really like Gracie, or as her sister calls her, Gaga. But if she came into church and just started teaching me a whole bunch of stuff about God, I would be pretty impressed, you know? Now, sometimes, don't get me wrong, like, I learn a lot from kids, all right? So kids can come in and sometimes they're like, hey, that was a really good thought they had. Like, I don't know where it came from, but man, that was a good thought. But as good as Gracie is, she doesn't come in and like teach me about God all the time. But if you ever think you have something good, you feel free to come to me and we'll talk, all right? But just imagine, Jesus, again, wasn't normal. He was wonderful. He caused amazement to flow out of people as they're like, this kid is really wise. He wasn't real big yet, but he was really wise. All right. Thank you so much, Gracie, for allowing me to embarrass you. All right. See, we have the wonder of Jesus' birth. We have the wonder of his childhood. We also have the wonder of Jesus' ministry years while he was doing all this teaching and now doing miracles and working with the disciples. Jesus is the only one to have the power to raise himself from the dead. I mean, that was a pretty big one. But before we get into that, let's look at John 21:25. All right, read it with me. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And hopefully you recognize that from one of the songs the kids just sang. That's where they got it, from John 21:26. So when Jesus is about 30 years old, 30-year-olds, let's go. 30-year-olds, one? Only one? Just kidding, there's a bunch of them behind you, Jessica. Don't worry about it. How about that? One 12-year-old, one 30-year-old in a group this size. All right, so anyway, I just wanted you to kind of get a feel. And they both sat in the front. See how wise they are? Yeah, see? You can sit down now, Jessica. All right. So when Jesus is about 30 years old, that's when he started his ministry. The first 30 years, Jesus continued to grow and study God's Word and to know God more and more. So that helps us understand, like, he spent 30 years preparing. And then he only spent about 3 years, 3 to 4 years, 3 and a half maybe, in actual ministry. Now, I do got to say, Jessica, Jesus was 30. He started a ministry and changed the world in 3 years. So, time to get busy. All right? You got things to do. You got work to get done. All right? And I'll let your dad hold you accountable to that. All right? He'll crack the whip. Sorry about that. I probably shouldn't have gone there. But anyway, most of us, what we read about Jesus happened, most of what we read about Jesus happened in the 3 to 4 years during this ministry time. The miracles that Jesus did, I think we would agree, they are pretty amazing. They were impossible if God didn't do them. And that's how we know that God is the very center of Jesus' ministry, because he did things that were absolutely impossible. Lots of people say they can do things, but Jesus didn't just say he could do miracles. Jesus did a lot of miracles. Jesus made a storm stop, right? You talked about that this week. And Jesus made sick people well. Jesus brought a couple people back to life. But the miracle that was the most amazing is bringing himself back to life. See, if we look at Jesus' miracles and put them into categories, we see he had power over nature. He had power over natural law. He had power over health and power over life. Some of my favorite miracles are Jesus turning a couple loaves of bread, though, into enough food to feed a whole crowd of people. Jesus walked on water. How cool would that be? Like, as a fisherman, you know, like, that would be a great advantage at times. Because sometimes you just can't get to where you want to go, you know? And like, man, if I just walk on the water, just slip around some of these trees. And, you know, honestly, like, take your friends with you and like, well, I'm going to my secret hole now and you guys can't follow. You just keep on going. Like, that'd be pretty cool, you know? So Jesus did some pretty cool miracles that we get excited about, right? So then there's power to make a storm go away. Can you imagine if you had the power to just control the weather? It's probably good that we don't, honestly, because we're selfish people. And if I had the power to control the weather, then it would always be nice on the days that I want it to be nice. On the days I didn't have plans, I would just go ahead and let it rain. Didn't matter what you had planned. That's just how it works. We are selfish people. So it's good that we don't have power over the weather. But Jesus could. But the interesting thing is, if we look at Jesus' miracles, Jesus didn't do these miracles to benefit himself. Every time we see Jesus do miracles, he's helping other people. He was serving other people. And every time he did a miracle, he pushed the glory, not himself, but he gave the glory back to God. See, Jesus had the bread and the fish in his hands. If Jesus was hungry, he could have just made a fish sandwich for himself, right? But no, Jesus wanted to serve other people. Jesus wanted to take care of other people. So he took the little bit that he had in his hands and made it so much more so that he could help other people. When Jesus was on a boat and there was a big storm, the disciples are all, they were scared to death. Jesus said Jesus wasn't scared. But he calmed the storm, not because he was scared, but because he wanted to help calm his disciples. And all of these miracles that cause us to wonder at the amazement all help us believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And everything Jesus did, again, always brought glory back to God the Father. So let's look at one miracle now that specifically was a pretty big one. It's the most convincing miracle of all time. See, the wonderfulness of Jesus, there is the wonder of his birth, there's the wonderfulness of his childhood, his miracles, and now the wonder of Jesus' death and resurrection. Day 4. Jesus was completely dead on the cross. Go ahead and read with me John 20:31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, when we look at miracles, there is no miracle more amazing and wondrous than Jesus' death and resurrection. First, it's a miracle that Jesus would die for us. Let's think about this for a moment. Jesus is the Son of God. He was in heaven. A sinless God loves people that sin enough. A sinless God loves people that sin enough to come to our world to save us. A world that he created perfectly, and we're the ones who messed it up because we sinned. And he still loved us enough to come and save us. I would say that that is a miracle in itself. And it's easy for us to love people that are nice to us and do really good things to us. But man, it's sometimes tough to be really nice to people when they're sinning against us, isn't it? It's tough to care as much about them. But when someone lies to us, when someone steals from us, or maybe they lie about us, sometimes it's pretty hard to be nice to those people. It's hard enough to just forgive them, but then to actually pay for their sins, well, that would be super hard to do. In the name of justice, we want people to pay for their own crimes. But Jesus loved us so much that he actually came and paid for our sins for us. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We actually earn the punishment of death when we sin against God. But Jesus doesn't want us to have But Jesus wants us to have the chance of eternal life, meaning that we can live with Him forever. And to make sure that we could live for eternity, Jesus actually paid that price for us. It's like this. It'd be kind of like if you walked into a store and you picked up a candy bar and you walked out without paying for it. Jesus would come into the store and He would get arrested and go to jail because of the things that you did. He paid your punishment so that He could give you eternal life. That's how much Jesus loves you. But since Jesus is the only one that loves you that much, you know what? Jesus loves you even more than your parents do. And your parents love you a lot. I'm not saying they don't love you. I'm just saying they love you a lot. But Jesus loves you even more. But since your parents sinned too, they can't pay for your sins. But Jesus loved them enough to pay for their sins too. And the way Jesus paid for our sins was by dying on the cross. And when Jesus died, He paid for our punishment. But that's not the end of the story. That's just where it's getting started. 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the grave. The Bible says that Jesus is the life giver. By coming back to life, Jesus proved He was no ordinary man. If we die, we're dead. All right? If I were to die, I would be dead. I can't do anything about it. But Jesus died, and He could still do something about it. Jesus did the impossible. There's literally no one else that could bring themselves back to life. The way Jesus' biggest and most convincing miracle is to die on the cross and rise again. It makes turning a little food into a lot of food seem like a little miracle. But that's still a pretty big miracle, right? But compared to dying and rising again, makes it not seem as big. I followed Jesus for 40 years now, and I'm still in wonder that Jesus came back to life. It is still absolutely amazing me. And sometimes the people in our time, maybe a doctor might be able to take his shock paddles and bring someone back, but that's not after 3 days. That's like after being dead for a few minutes, you know? But if we read the Bible very, very closely, there are lots of ways that prove Jesus was actually dead through eyewitness accounts. And there were hundreds of people that saw Jesus after He came back to life. Hundreds. That's a lot of eyewitnesses. And since we don't get to see Jesus, we have to read what the people that did see Him say about Him and what they say happened. And I believe after studying this for years that Jesus died, and I believe He came back to life. I believe everything that He taught and said about Himself. I've looked at the evidence, and I believe it is as true as anything can possibly be true. See, the wonderfulness of Jesus, there's the wonder of His birth, His childhood, His miracles, His death, the resurrection, and then there's one more. The wonder of His return. This is His promise. And we talked about how will Jesus return. Your memory verse was Matthew 6:10. Say it with me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we don't know everything about Jesus' promise to return. He doesn't tell us everything, but He tells us what we need to know. And the first thing we know is that we don't know when it's going to be. He's very clear. You do not know when that time is going to be. Jesus prepared all of His disciples by telling them to live so that we're always ready, so no matter when He returns, we are ready. We don't have to wait. We don't have to change anything. We are ready. He's just going to show up. That's why we have to be ready. Because when Jesus returns, He's going to come so fast, there's not going to be any time to get ready. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that Jesus will come in the twinkling of an eye. All right? So I need everybody, twinkle your eye. Just close them and open them. Boom, boom, boom. Right? It doesn't take long, right? It's quick. That's how fast Jesus is going to come back. You will not have time to run and tell anyone else. You will not have time to say a long prayer. You will not even have time to say, "Is that Jesus?" Okay? You don't have time for anything. If it's happening as quickly as Paul says, just like that. There's no time to get ready. No time to change. No time to do your hair or your makeup. Sorry, ladies. That's just not going to happen. Jesus is just going to come back that fast. And when He comes, we have to already be ready. One time I was driving my car at night. I was leaving Kirby Leonard's house after doing some deer hunting. Didn't see a deer all day. I'm driving down the hill. And out of nowhere, this monster buck comes leaping up across the road right in front of me. And it was fast. It happened so fast, it was like the twinkling of an eye. I didn't have time to hit my brakes. I didn't have time to yell anything. I didn't do anything because it happened so fast. And if any of you others out there have had this happen, you know how fast it can happen. That was a twinkling of the eye moment. And when Jesus comes back, we're not going to have time to get ready. We have to already be ready. Some people say they're going to wait until Jesus comes back and then they'll ask Him to forgive their sins. When Jesus returns, they're not going to have time to ask forgiveness. We have to trust Jesus, ask Him to forgive our sins now so that when He comes back, we are all ready to go. Because it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. So we know that Jesus will come back very quickly, and we know that nobody knows when it's going to happen. We also know that Jesus comes back, there's going to be judgment on the world. And if we believe in Jesus and we served Him, we don't have anything to worry about. However, if we reject Jesus in our life, then we will have to stand before Him like a judge in judgment. And if we don't follow Jesus and trust Him to save us, then He will send us away from Him. But if we obeyed Him and followed Him, He will tell us this really cool statement. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That means that Jesus watches what we do. He knows if we're doing our best to obey Him, or He knows if you just don't care what He teaches. So when we think about all the wonderful things that Jesus did for us, how cool would it be to hear the Son of God tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Every one of you here this morning could hear that if you trust Jesus as your Savior. Just don't wait until it's too late. So I hope that you always see the wonder of Jesus. I hope that you are always amazed at how much He loves you and how much He was willing to do to save you. His whole life was lived to save you from your own sins. He gave up everything to come to this world to die for us. He proved that He was God's Son. And He proved that one day He will come back. And He told us, when I come back, you just need to be ready. And so today, I want to give that opportunity if you want to be ready. It's really as simple as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus. And confess Jesus as your Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's talk just for a moment what it means to be a Lord. Because we don't really talk about Lords a whole lot today. We don't really have them. But a Lord is someone who we know would have control over you. They could tell you what to do, right? But a good Lord would also protect you. If another army was coming into your land, a good Lord would also make sure that you were going to be safe and go to battle for you. A good Lord would also make sure that you were provided for. In the cold months, they'd make sure that you had enough clothes. They would make sure that enough food was gathered in the summertime and the fall so that you would have enough food to get through the winter. A good Lord took good care of His people. And so we understand that Jesus is telling us we have to trust Him as our Lord, that He gets control of our life. But He's also making a commitment to us to take care of us. That's a pretty strong statement when He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, it says, you will be saved. That's not a maybe. Jesus didn't say, Paul didn't say, if you do these things, you might get saved. Or there's like a pretty good chance you'd get saved. No. Paul wrote a very good promise from God that if you do these things, you will be saved. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins and be Lord of your life, and you'd like to do that now, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer after me. If you would, everyone bow your head and close your eyes. And if this is a prayer you'd like to pray and you'd like to start following Jesus today, pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming to the earth to help us see how wonderful you are. I'm sorry that I sinned against you, but thank you for loving me anyway. Please forgive me and help me follow you. Help me obey you. I believe that you rose again after dying on the cross And I trust the promise that says, if I confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that you rose again, I will be saved. Please save me and help me follow you the rest of my life. Amen. Go ahead and look up here. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to do two things today that are going to take a lot of courage, all right? But I want you to be brave. First is I want you to tell whoever it was that brought you, all right? The second, I want to make sure that you go and you tell Miss Flo before you leave, all right? You let her know this Sunday, because all the work she did for VBS, that's why we do it. So if there's anybody that wants to follow Jesus, they will know how. So you got two things to do that are really brave. You tell Miss Flo and you tell whoever brought you. All right? So let's go ahead and close out in our hymn.